Exodus. Ah, such a good time in Exodus. You know, you think about God feeding the Israelites. How many Israelites were there? Anybody know? About a million, right? And they're in the wilderness and they have no bread. And so figured it out. If you had to have about a pound of bread per person, that's a million pounds of bread. Oh, it gets better. Do you know what it would cost to buy a million pounds of bread? Nowadays, about $1 million. And God fed those people every day faithfully for 40 years. God's got supply. Amen? The Bible says in Psalms, open your mouth wide. God said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. He knows how to meet our needs. Romans chapter 2. I won't be long tonight. I hope I don't get too detailed. I want you to understand some things in this chapter. If you're there, we're going to begin in verse 12. It's no fun being guilty and knowing you're guilty. I was driving back from an activity one night when I was in college. I had a pretty nice car. It was a fast car, a yellow car, stood out. Police could see me a mile away. And I was driving back from this activity, and I was in a hurry. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there's a policeman behind me, and his lights are on. And he pulled me over, and he said, what's going on? I said, I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry. Something's gone wrong, and I need to get somewhere. I didn't get detailed, didn't make any excuses. He said, do you realize you just ran 7 stop signs? I don't know what 1 stop sign costs, but what would 7 cost? Give me a ticket. He said, I could give you a ticket for all that. And he said, and not to mention the fact I probably should give you a ticket for driving recklessly. And he said, but I'm going to let you go. Wow, doesn't that feel good? Amen? Now, just want you to know something in the Bible. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Pope has sinned. Mother Teresa sinned. You think of the best person you know. The best person you know. All have sinned. You have sinned, haven't you? And it's a lot worse than running a few stop signs. Because the one you've sinned against is God. And I want you to know something. When you sinned against God, God's punishment is hell. It's not just, oh, I'm going to give you a ticket or charge you a few dollars. It's eternity in hell. So look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 12. We're going to kind of get into this guilt thing a little bit. He says, as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And then he says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, that's a good phrase, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Let's pray and take a look at this for a few minutes. Father, we come before you tonight, and we realize that you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You know each thought, you know each deed, you know our heart's desire. You know if we're proud or not. You know if we're moral or not. You know if we love you or not. You know how much we love you. You know our secrets. You know the secrets of every person in this room, even very detailed things. Lord, tonight, I pray you'd help us to understand that in spite of that, you have provided a way for us to be saved. It's an amazing thing. It's a miracle. God, help us to understand that we should have gone to hell. The Bible says that we deserve that. The wages of sin is death, and death and hell are cast into a lake of fire. And Lord, tonight, if there's one here that's not saved, they will spend eternity in hell unless they repent of their sins and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. God, open their eyes to that. And I pray for each one here, young and old. God, help us to see a few things in the Bible tonight that make a difference in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you look at that thought there in verse 16, he says, there's a day when God shall judge the secrets of men. You know, it's just a plain fact. A lot of folks don't really know who you are, but you know who you are. A lot of folks don't know what you think. A lot of folks don't know what you do. A lot of folks don't know what you love. They can see some evidence on the outside. If you love the Lord, for example, you're going to be faithful to Him. Amen? You're going to be in church. You're going to do what's right. I see people that stop going to church, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody here. I love you all, and the Lord knows. But, you know, if you love something, you'll attend to it. You'll pay attention to it. I'm trying to think of a good example, and I, other than a husband and wife, you know, that's a good example. I don't want to use my cats all the time. I kind of like my cats, but I really can't say I love them. But there are things that we really, let's just say that we feel strongly in favor of them. For example, if you really like, I don't know, I can't, a pizza. If you really like, sir? Football. All right, okay, we'll go that direction. Friday night at 5:08, I think, is the first game of the World Series. The Phillies, Philadelphia, I believe it is. Pittsburgh or Philadelphia? The Phillies and the Astros. Now, this is kind of interesting because the Astros, and you don't appreciate baseball, I'll be quick about this, but the Astros used to have one of the worst teams, and they never, I think the Astros or the Rangers got beaten by the most points ever, like 40-something points in a baseball game. But the Astros used to be terrible, and now they're pretty good, except, of course, they did cheat a couple of years ago. That's a different matter. And since I was born very near Texas and grew up in Texas, I guess I kind of lean towards the Astros, the Houston Astros. But I would like Friday night, if there was not anything else, I would go home and I would turn on my TV and I would, what I do is I let my recorder start recording the game. I don't have cable. I just have a device that records broadcast TV. I let it go so that I can skip over the commercials because they have really wicked commercials. You notice that? Wicked commercials about beer and about cigarettes. I don't know if they do that anymore or not, but they have commercials about things that are not any good, and they have bad music and all that. But I can skip through those. I'd like to watch that baseball game. I am not going to watch the baseball game Friday night. I'm going to go to the men's conference. And I guarantee you, I'll enjoy that men's conference more than I would have enjoyed that baseball game. And I guarantee you that when a men's conference is finished, God will bless me somehow. He will do something in my life for choosing what honors Him instead of what gives me a few moments of entertainment. If you love something, you'll attend to it, right? So God knows your heart, and sometimes people can see what you do, and they can tell what's in your heart. But the fact is, everybody here's got secrets. One of my students today asked me this question in class, and he's just trying to be funny. He thinks that's his job, to be funny. He's wrong, but he thinks it. He said, Pastor, do you want to know my deepest secret? I said, absolutely not. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. You're distracted in my class. We're going to talk about something else. Beside the fact he wouldn't tell me that anyway. But folks, God knows what's in our heart. And it matters. Amen? He knows what you trust in. He knows what you love. He knows why you do what you do. He knows why you look like you look. He knows why you talk like you talk. He knows what you're trying to accomplish. And the question is, are you doing it for Him? The Bible says this. I'm just quoting Scripture here. Do all to the glory of God. Do all to the... What does all mean? All means all. That's all means. Do all to the glory of God. If you can't glorify God by doing it, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. But in our heart, God knows why we do what we do. And He says there in verse 16, He's going to judge the secrets of men. Now, look at verse 29, and this is a very confusing verse. I'll try to explain a little of it, but anyway. Romans 2:29 says, He is a Jew which is one inwardly. Don't misunderstand the fact that there is a literal nation of Israel, but there is also a people of God. And this is one of the verses that gets folks in trouble. He says, he's a Jew that is one inwardly. Now, if you look at verse 28, he says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. And what he says is there's an outside and there's an inside. There are secrets that God knows. So each of us, we are something and we appear to be something. Are we what we appear to be? An actor. You know the word hypocrite in the Bible, right? Hypocrite. A hypocrite is an actor. He's someone who wears a mask, who wears a face. And when he's pretending to be that, that's not really who he is. But does God know who's acting? Oh, by the way, thank you for being here tonight. That's a good sign. You come to God's house because you want to hear the word of God, because you really want to hear from the Lord. And I'm looking at the Bible here, and that's where you hear from him, is in the Bible. So when God looks at those secrets, now we come back to verse 12, and he says, as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. If you don't know what that means, I'm about to tell you. It's not that hard. There's two kinds of people in the world. There are those folks that have the law that God has put in the Bible, and I'm particularly interested in people that had the Old Testament law. Nothing wrong with it, but it was very detailed. And I was listening to the Bible this morning on the way into to church and listening to Timothy. And Paul told Timothy something. He says, you know, he says the law isn't there for people that do what's right. It's there for people that do what's wrong. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's the thought. If nobody ever stole, there wouldn't need to be a law against stealing, would there? If nobody ever killed, there wouldn't need to be a law against killing. What is the law for? The law is something that can be used to judge you and find if you're guilty or you're not guilty. Now, there's a rule here, and if you ever get stopped by a policeman and you say, I didn't know, he's going to say these words. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. In other words, the fact that you should have known. When you agreed to drive that car, for example, you agreed to know the law. And when you live your life, you here you are in church, and we got a Bible. You know what God wants. Amen? But even if you didn't know, if I go out on the highway, and this has happened to me. I was driving through Texas. I don't know why I sped so much when I was younger. I was driving through Texas, and a policeman stopped me, and he says, how fast were you going? I said, 65. He said, yeah. He said, what's the speed limit? I said, 65. He said, no. 45. Ah! But he didn't give me a ticket that time. I got plenty of other tickets, but not that one. He said, you're so stupid. I need to let you go, I guess. I don't know. But I should have known how fast I was allowed to go, shouldn't I? Could he have given me a ticket? Yep. Would I have had to pay it? Yep. Was I guilty? Yep. The fact that you don't know doesn't make any difference. But you know what's right and what's wrong. You can lie to yourself. You can say, but you know, when you were a little child and you stole something, you knew it was wrong, didn't you? And when you cheated or when you lied, remember telling your parents a lie? I can still remember lying to my parents. And I was a stupid little kid. I'm sorry I said it that way. I was a foolish child. And when I said to my parents when I told them a lie, they knew I was lying. And I knew I was wrong. When you do wrong, you know it's wrong, don't you? So what he's saying is this. You've got a law in your heart. You may not be able to quote the Old Testament verbatim, but you know what's right and what's wrong. You know, don't you? And that's what he says. In the heart, God knows, you know. And so there's no problem here with God saying you're guilty because you know you're guilty. The many times that I got stopped speeding, it really frustrates me. There are roads in Texas that I have driven on in the last 10 years, and the speed limit is 70 or 75. That's not fair. I got tickets on those same roads going 65 because the speed limit back then was 55. And now they change it to 70. They're just too slow. I was ahead of the times is the thing, see? But when I got stopped, and I remember one night a highway patrolman stopped me just outside Houston, Texas. And I was driving back from a job I was doing in Texas City, and I was tired, and I was on the way home. It was late at 10 o'clock at night. Oh, this highway patrolman stopped me, and I think I was going 68 in a 55 zone, and he gave me a ticket. But I knew I was going too fast. I knew the speed limit was 55. That's when it was 55 everywhere. I knew I was doing wrong, and I got caught. The difference between the highway patrol and God is the highway patrol doesn't always catch you. God always knows, doesn't he? Now, the whole thought here is God's trying to bring some humility into the lives of the people reading this book, because as you do go through Romans, he's going to talk about sin, he's going to talk about guilt, he's going to talk about judgment, and then he's going to talk about Christ. And the Bible says Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. In other words, when Christ comes into the picture, when Christ comes into your life and he saves you, there is no longer the ability for the law to condemn you. He removes that. That's why it's good to be saved. Are you saved? How good does that feel? That doesn't mean go out and break all the laws, because you are going to stand before God one day for a different kind of judgment, a judgment for rewards. But when it comes to heaven and hell, if you're saved, you're saved from the penalty of sin. So there's this inside thing he's talking about here. And he says that the basis of God's judgment is the fact that we have a law in us. And then look at verse 17, and I'll show you a second thing, and I can't go much longer, we're going to run out of time. He says in verse 17, he says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light unto them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes." You can see he's talking to the Jews here, and they were saying, "Hey, we're special. We got the law. God gave us the law. We know what it is." You know what that is? That's man's religion. Is God going to judge you and say, "Well, which church were you a member of? Were you a Catholic? Were you a Baptist? Were you a Methodist?" Is that what he's going to decide if you're saved or not? You realize there's a lot of Baptists that are going to go to hell. There's a lot of, I won't say a lot, but there are some people that are not Baptists, that are Catholic, for example, that might be saved. I would think the Holy Spirit would get them out of that church, but that's a different question. But listen to me, your religion is not what God's going to judge you by. Say, "Pastor, I go to church every Sunday." You ought to. That doesn't save you. Amen? The judgment of God is not based on your religion. The judgment of God is based on something else. Now, in verse 25, and I won't read the verses for the sake of time, we've read some of them already, but if you can look at me real fast, I'll just show you one thing. In verse 25, he says circumcision twice. Verse 26, circumcision. Verse 27, circumcision. Verse 28, circumcision. Verse 29, circumcision. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in just a few verses he mentions circumcision. The Jews considered that to be an outward sign of their fact that they trusted God. It was an outward sign, something physical that they could do. A lot of folks today don't trust in that. They trust in baptism. "I was baptized." Yeah, I've asked people, and it scares me to death when I get this answer. I'll say, when did you get saved? And they'll say, "Well, I was baptized." Say, baptism doesn't save you. Amen? That's an outward sign. The law is not going to save you. That's religion. Those things do not save you from your sins. Those are the things God's going to judge. There's a lot of people that are circumcised Jews that are lost and on their way to hell or have gone to hell. A lot of people that have known the law, and the Bible says, "By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." The law, religion, cannot save you. And you can see Paul building this case. And as you keep going through Romans, he comes to that point to where he finally explains to us in chapter 10, "Whosoever," that means anybody, "shall call," that is a cry of desperation for salvation, "upon the name of the Lord," that's knowing who Jesus is, "whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you done that? Amen? I didn't ask you, have you been baptized? I didn't ask you, are you keeping the law? You're not. I didn't ask you, have you done something religious? No. "Whosoever shall call." Ephesians 2:8, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Romans 10:9, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, Because you see, here's the catch, and the title of the message, by the way, is why, or what is inside is what matters. What is inside you is what matters. And here's how that works. When you're lost, you can put on the best show or the worst when it doesn't matter, but sin is in your heart, and if sin is in your heart, you're lost. But when you get saved, what's in your heart? The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Romans, we'll get there later, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. What's in you? Amen. What's inside matters. Because the law is not going to save you. Religion isn't going to save you. Baptism isn't going to save you. And every one of us, inside of us, if we're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is in our heart. Now, I'll finish with this simple thought, and listen carefully, please. Back when I was in the Army, we had a summer camp we went to. It was not a camp at all, but they called it that. It was a summer. 2 weeks we would spend in Fort Hood, Texas, usually. We'd go different places. And I was an officer, and so I got a little bit better accommodations than the enlisted men. And 1 year, they took us to this place. And basically what we had, this is in the heat of Texas in July, what we had was a big tent. And this tent was just a big tent. It was probably about the size maybe of this section of chairs right here. And they would put four of us in this tent. And when we got there, the sides would roll up and they had some screens that would hang down. And it was a concrete slab with canvas sides and a canvas roof. And I think there was an extension cord for a light bulb, and I'm not sure there was one there or not. And I thought to myself, I got to live here for 2 weeks. And so you know what we would do? We would bring things in to make the place nice. We'd put a light or two or three up, and we'd bring a couple of fans in to blow air to cool things off. We'd have a water cooler and probably an ice chest and a box of snacks and a sleeping bag and a couple of pillows, and we were sleeping on metal army cots, and we'd put our blankets and stuff on those and a sleeping bag on top of that. And if you're really, really wimpy, you can wear an air, you can use an air mattress. And some people did, some people didn't. And we fixed the place up because you're going to be there for a while. When God comes into your heart, do you think He's going to make some changes? He's going to be there a while. He's going to bring some things in. And then the first thing we would do when we got there, we'd go into that place, we'd sweep out all the dirt and the trash. And if we found spider webs, we'd get rid of the spider webs. And if we saw bugs on the floor, we'd kill them and get rid of them. And the first thing we would do is get the junk out, and then we would bring good stuff in. And by the time we'd been there a couple of days, it wasn't so bad. If you're saved, that's what God's doing in your life. He comes to the inside. And He starts to get rid of the junk, the foul language, the wicked thoughts, the desires that you shouldn't have. He starts to take those things out. And He replaces them with something good. And if you think you're saved and that's not happening, you're not saved. If you can't see God working in your heart, changing you, making you desire different things and do different things and say different things and be different things, you're not saved. Because you see, the Bible says that it's out of the heart that your speech comes from. The Bible says the issues of life come from your heart. In fact, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When God comes into your heart, He's going to change things. What's inside matters. Be very careful. Please, please, everyone here tonight, young and old, when you leave this place, make sure that you have Jesus in your heart. The young people here, I have great news for you. There's a man back there named Carlos. And he knows how to take a Bible to sit down with you. And I would say in about 10 minutes, if not 5 or 10, show you how to have Christ in your heart. Forever. It's what is inside that matters. If think about the point here, as he talks to the Jews were big on show, Oh, they had their religious appeal and their religious garment and their religious everything else. But inside, Jesus said, you're dead men's bones. But there's still people like that today. They look good on the outside and they talk good and they can stand up and tell you, oh, God did this and God did that. But inside their heart, they know what's there. And folks, if you have God in your heart, let him do what he wants to do. If you don't have God in your heart, find out how to do that tonight. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take a few prayer requests and divide up for prayer. And then after we finish praying, we'll be dismissed. I would encourage the young people to gather together. And Carlos, if you could get them together and pray with them as a group, I'd appreciate that. Can we do that? Okay. So let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you tonight. As we